The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about the light of Buddha. We have a closing ceremony that we do here in the monastery. We do it at the end of every training term, and at the end of the week, like on Sunday afternoon, we have this closing ceremony to close a meditation hall. Although we still meditate, we don't have so much formal meditation. So we have this little closing ceremony. And there's a verse that's recited, and part of it is, the light of Buddha is increasing in brilliance, and the wheel of the Dharma is always turning. And it's such a beautiful verse, you know. The light of Buddha is increasing in brilliance, and the wheel of the Dharma is always turning. And it reminds us, this is always the case, whether we're sitting in the hall or not, whether we're doing something else, whatever we may be doing, or whatever we may be, the light of Buddha is increasing in brilliance, and the wheel of the Dharma is always turning. The world can seem pretty dark at present. In many ways, there's violence, wars, refugees, you know, desperate people being killed, mass shootings, starvation, all kinds of stuff. There seems to be no end to misery in the world. And of course, it's always been sort of like this. At the moment, it seems a bit worse than usual. Somehow it seems to be bad. And you can think, oh God, this is just awful, you know. And get despondent, actually quite despondent about the whole thing. And of course, this is the time of year when it's darkest. Tomorrow is the shortest day of the year, which means the longest night of the year, the winter solstice, which some people, some of us think, ooh, lovely. But, for, you know, darkness is not everybody's cup of tea. So here it is. It's dark, it's cold, and there's all kinds of stuff going on in the world. And we can get kind of despondent. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. On this nice, cheerful, beautiful day with snow and lights and Christmas trees, I'm going to talk about a little bit about dark states of mind. Because, in fact, sometimes people can get sort of miserable around about the holidays. It looks like everyone else is happy. They're all loved and wanted. They have happy families and people to buy gifts for and all this sort of stuff. And some will sort of think, not like that for me. I'm miserable and I live alone and, you know. It can be hard for people, even when you are living with others. It can be just hard sometimes. So what do? We look up. We look up and see the light of Buddha, which is increasing in brilliance. We have lights and decorations. We have Christmas. We have Hanukkah. We have Buddha's enlightenment. You know, people all over the world, the winter solstice festival, people celebrate in the middle of winter. They celebrate light. Because we need it. It makes a balance, because it can be so dark. And lights are a large part of it. You know, they light candles at Hanukkah. We light, we have Christmas trees all over the place. Buddha's enlightenment, light, it's a, you know. It cheers people up and it warms our hearts. The other day, some of our friends came and gave us this lovely music recital. And they said, it's such a dark time in the world. The world is in such a mess. What can we do to brighten it up, to help? And they said, well, we can play music. It's what we do. And they did. They did this lovely recital for us. And they also play music for the soup kitchens and people in town, people who just need cheering up, to play a little music for them. It's really a really nice offering, cheering people up, brightening their lives. And we might say that's a very small thing to play a little music or, you know, light up a Christmas tree or something. What difference can it make? But it does make a difference because it's a way of affirming goodness, that there is goodness in the world, there is light, it's not just all darkness and despondency. There is goodness in this world, and by goodness we're going to light a candle to make testify to it or play a little music to make it, you know, the light still pervades the world, and not to forget it, not to lose sight of that. We can tend to think that darkness is the reality, grim reality, you know, and that creating light is a kind of forced cheer. Well, Miss Manners says, nothing wrong with forced cheer, it's a lot better than nothing, you know. But it's not actually forced cheer, because it does affirm goodness. Light and darkness go together, day and night. And the nights are longer now, and to have a little light is a way of kind of redressing the balance and saying, yes, light does return to the world. Sanity returns to the world. People learn not to do evil things and harm people. Things do get better. Even if we're, you know, have a very dark view sometimes, it's not just darkness. People learn, we learn. Things change, and we tend to see the hard things and the, you know, violence and so on, and not see people just taking care of their families and doing their best. And as I said, sometimes the holidays are really hard, especially if we're in a dark state. You know, we think everybody else is happy. And lots of people are alone. Lots of people are lonely. Lots of people have depression or whatever it might be. And it can get worse at this time for some people. All of us have our dark times. You know, none of us is exempt from that. And that is not a bad thing, because if we were happy all the time, we wouldn't know it. If you have light, you have to have darkness to balance. Otherwise, you wouldn't know there was light. And when you have a dark time, it can help us to see the light more clearly when we do see it, and to turn towards it in faith when it's dark. It's not a bad thing. It's just not something to drown in. When there's some immediate challenge that's very demanding, you know, often that isn't a problem. Sometimes we do fine. We have help from our friends. We have people offer merit. There's all kinds of support, maybe. Sometimes we're more calm and peaceful and at ease during that. We rise to the occasion. And this, you know, the training and help of other people really helps. Our own training helps. It's the long-term things that can be hard, long-term situations and states of mind that are hard to deal with. When you don't quite know why it's so hard, why am I miserable all the time? You know, why is the situation just going on and on? What am I supposed to learn from this? Because it seems I'm not getting it, you know, just on and on. And that's when it's harder to keep a bright heart, when it's a long thing, a temporary thing we can usually rise to, but a long-term thing can kind of get people down a bit. Sometimes chronic pain, you know, can do that. Just make us feel really, it just kind of erode our good cheer. And some very difficult long-term situation can just darken our spirits. And it's hard to see sometimes that actually we do have a choice. It's not hopeless. Sometimes we don't really want to hear this. You've got a choice here, and it sounds unsympathetic, but it's not. You know, you say, you might say, well, it's all very well for them, they're always cheerful. What do they know about being, you know, miserable? But actually, we all do. Some people are more naturally bright and minded. Some people tend to have a lot of dark, heavy karma. And we've all had to work at it. You know, if you have dark times, you have to work through them. And it's a way through to say it's a choice. We can do something about dark states of mind or difficult situations. We can do something with them. Sometimes it seems really hard, but we can work with them in the best way we can. Our ceremony today gives us a clue. We make offerings. This is a huge ceremony of offering, because we have the offering of gifts and all the things we chanted. They're all offerings to beings. They're part of the shushogi, we talk about awakening to the mind of the Bodhisattva, the Bodhisattva who practices charity, tenderness, benevolence, and sympathy, the four wisdoms, the work of a Bodhisattva. They're wisdoms. They're not just nicenesses. They're wisdoms, you know, to practice charity, tenderness, benevolence, and sympathy. I think it's wonderful that these are wisdoms, because we can all do that. We can all give, we can all practice kindness and sympathy and tenderness to other beings. It's not just for those good people over there, it's for all of us. And this is really comforting, because all of us, even when we feel rotten, we can practice kindness, and it really, really, really helps us. The Metta Sutra, you know, which is a huge wish for benefit to beings, that the Buddha gave to people to help them in a difficult situation. A huge wish of loving kindness to all beings. May they all be well and happy, at ease, peaceful. People in this quarter, people here, people above, people below, not just people, all beings. This massive, all-encompassing wish for good for other beings. It's lovely. The offering, the dedication of merit, you know, which we sing quite often, offering merit to beings, those who are unhappy, those who are, you know, in need. And that cheerful invocation, may all beings be happy, it's lovely. May all in this world be happy. Yes, you would love it. Offering merit to other beings, whether we think they deserve it or not, we don't worry about that. We just offer it out everywhere, because, you know, it's not to make a judgment, not to judge whether somebody needs merit or deserves merit. Everybody needs help and merit sometimes. We need help and merit, not to judge our own worthiness, you know. And this offering of merit is a really powerful thing. And it brings us joy that we can offer something to another being. No matter how wretched we may feel ourselves to be, all of us can offer merit and kindness to the beings we meet, to those we live with, those we work with. Even if somebody is completely alone and all they do is go out to the grocery store, well, be kind to the grocery clerk, just be kind to somebody you meet in the street. And just realizing that we're not separate from them. And it really does help beings, this kind offering of merit. It's the very best way to help our dark states of mind, to offer something to other beings, because it helps us to get out of that little miserable me bubble. Whether it's material things, or we're spending time with somebody, or just thinking a kind thought about somebody, or letting go of a crabby thought about somebody, you know, offering merit, wishing people well, charity, tenderness, benevolence, and sympathy. We can all do that. And it helps us to just dissolve this little shell of self-concern, this little dark thing sometimes around us. Just to dissolve that, to look out, look up and see, there's a world out there of beings actually a lot like me. It's not just me and my little misery against the world, but all of us are here together. And we all actually, all beings suffer. All beings have hard times. All beings are subject to old age, sickness and death, you know, and all the other things that come with life. To look up and see, there's a whole world going on, and I'm just a little part of it. To wish someone well is an offering, and it does make a difference. And it affirms our connectedness with other beings. It is a way of saying, yes, I am part of this world. I am part of these of life. I am one with these other beings. Even if we don't feel like it, it's a way of practicing that. And it helps the other person to see that too. If we just say good morning to somebody, they may be in a miserable state too, and they might cheer them up, you know. We all know what it's like when we just have a kind word from somebody, or someone helps us with a difficult thing out in the street. They've never seen us before, but they just help us with something. It goes a long way, you know. It helps break down that feeling of isolation that so many people have, which is the darkest kind of thing, this feeling that you're isolated and alone and nobody understands, nobody knows what it's like to be like this. And to remember, actually people do. They do know what it's like. And we are not alone with our little dark state. Sympathy, feeling with others, and to know that they may feel with us. It goes both ways. Feeling with, not just me and my little feelings over here and everything, I don't know about them. Feeling with, I feel with them, maybe they feel with me, that we are all actually part of one body. So our state of mind is, in fact, a choice, though it's not always easy to see. And this is not to add self-judgment to the burden. Not only am I miserable, but I'm also bad because I'm miserable. You know, that's not the idea. That would not help. It's to liberate us. There is a way through. Maybe I can look at this another way. Maybe I don't have to keep going round in that same rut of despair or resentment or fear or whatever it might be that just kind of keeps spinning. Maybe there's a way through. Maybe I can just reach out of that little shell and touch another being, just by a kind word, or connecting in some way. Maybe I can look outside myself and see other people, other beings. And our states of mind do affect other people. When we are unhappy, we can tend to be kind of cold and crabby and unkind sometimes because we're suffering. It's hard to be warm and sympathetic and nice when we feel wretched. But it's not impossible. And maybe we can give it a try. It really, really helps. And we feel wretched and like there's nothing worth living for and here I am in my little isolation. To actually think of others, to see how other people suffer, to see somebody else may be worse off than me, or to see that other people need my kindness, no matter what it looks like. They need my kindness and warm heart. Works both ways. To consider things from the point of view of that person in front of us, put ourselves in their shoes for a minute, you know, it helps us to free ourselves from dark states of mind. This is the practice of charity, tenderness, benevolence, and sympathy, really all together, just connecting with other people. And it takes effort. It takes an effort of will to do that because we can feel that it's easier just to sort of sit in our little nest of misery, you know. But actually, it's awfully hard work sitting in that nest of misery. It's much better to kind of do something. Reach out to somebody. Practice our interconnection. To practice sympathy, kindness, to make it real, manifest it, actualize it. We always have something to give. Never to doubt that. And when we have something to give, and we give it, then we can also receive, because it goes both ways. You don't just give and never receive. You don't just receive and never give. If we're giving, there's a hole there, and we can receive through that hole. And with any luck, it starts to dissolve that membrane of miserable me. To actualize our connection with all beings, make it real. It's not just a nice idea. It's a reality that we practice. We're all part of that one body. The Buddha's enlightenment. We celebrate the Buddha's enlightenment at this time of the year. They say he was, you know, reached enlightenment on the morning of December the 8th. Well, we make it the 25th because everybody else is celebrating at this time too. And we celebrate it on the 8th as well. We might as well do it twice. Why not? It's a big thing. Enlightenment. There's light. Light. Light is a clue. The light of Buddha is increasing in brilliance and the wheel of the Dharma is always turning. Never to doubt that, to trust in this. To trust that the light of the Buddha is always here. And not only is it here, but it's increasing in brilliance. This is the practice of faith. How does the light of Buddha increase in brilliance? It's us, by our making our effort, not giving up on ourselves or giving up on the world or giving up on the life or on other people, but are continuing to make that effort to look up, to reach out, to do our best, to be part of that light of Buddha. We are part of that. Never to doubt it and think we're separate, we're our own little dark thing. We are all part of that. We just need to look up and see it. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? It's up to us. We are part of the light of Buddha. We help it to shine. All beings do. You don't have to be a Buddhist to help the light of Buddha shine. All beings can manifest goodness, can help other beings, can practice kindness, you know. I keep saying this, I'm going to keep saying it. Every time we turn our hearts towards kindness or sympathy and generosity, we're helping the light of Buddha to increase in brilliance. We're helping to turn the wheel of the Dharma. The Dharma is based on kindness. Buddhism is kindness, you know. The Buddha said this many, many times. He talked about the jhanas and all the meditation practices and all the, you know, the things. But he also greatly emphasized kindness. And all of us can practice that. We may not know much about the jhanas, but we can all practice kindness. It's not that hard. It just sometimes seems hard when we're, you know, dark or worried about something or whatever. And we can all just think, my feelings are not the only thing that's going on here. There's other people, there's other things going on. I can reach out to them. Helping the light to shine, helping the wheel to turn. This is the practice of faith, just going on, going on. The light always shines, the wheel always turns, they're not going to stop. And we can help them. We can be part of that. We are part of that, we are helping them. And we can give our heart to that as much as we can. Whether we're feeling cheerful or miserable, whether it's light or dark, whether everything is just fine, blissful, ordinary, miserable, whatever, we can always help the light of Buddha to increase in brilliance, help the wheel of the Dharma to turn, never to doubt that we are all part of it. The light of Buddha is increasing in brilliance and the wheel of the Dharma is always turning. A really lovely thought, not just a thought but an actuality, is not just a nice idea. It is the way it truly is. We say this every week, you know, at our closing ceremony. Our novices do this. And it's a lovely reminder. There's always goodness, always the light of Buddha. There's always Buddha nature at work, despite our best efforts. It is there, it is within us, we are part of it. And there's nothing anyone can do about it. As Master Koten used to say, Bodhisattvas help us constantly, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. And we just do our part to help as best we can. Thank you.